What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Evan is Tiki here on The Fan. Evan on vacation in one of the Carolinas. I don't remember which one.
I think it might be north.
Did they add a Carolina? It's north or south.
It's Middle Carolina.
Middle Carolina. And Sean Marash is also on vacation. He's probably in a tube somewhere in Lake George tweeting about Jackson Dart, which we will get into coming up later on in the show. We'll get into the Yankees, why I think they have a Max Fried problem. Baseball realignment. Rob Manfred had a lot to say about that yesterday on the telecast. Between the Mets and the Mariners, the Little League game, Williamsport. And I think that's a good spot to open with the show today. First and foremost, let me just say this. The Mets are going to the postseason. So if you've made vacation plans in October, shame on you. Anybody that's given up, anybody that lives in my mentions, and I know that was a big deal last week, Tiki, when I was out on Friday enjoying my 40th birthday, which is tomorrow. I've been having a birthday month here, but it's a 40. It's a big
Happy
one.
Happy birthday,
Tommy. Oh, thank you.
Tomorrow's, officially, I'll give it to you.
Tomorrow's my 40th birthday, so please Venmo me money. I could use it. I heard that I was getting a lot of shrapnel for this, so I want to kind of take you through the weekend that was mine with the Mets and also just, you know, from my perspective and the team themselves, Tiki, but when we last left on Friday, or at least you guys, because I wasn't here, the Mets were in a situation where it seemed like every night was their worst loss of the season.
It was their worst loss of the season because they couldn't win regardless of what happened.
Right.
Period.
And then on Friday night, as I'm sitting there splitting a tomahawk steak with my wife, medium rare, I'm an aristocrat, out of the corner of my eye, because I was trying to be a good husband, and I know you have to be a good sports talk radio host, but I think above all, I'm a human and a husband, and my wife, who doesn't understand the dynamics of sports.
Right.
You know what I mean? The two things she knows about sports is another football game. Are you serious? I'm like, honey, I got to watch the Citadel in Florida here. It's a very important game for my job.
There's a little shekels on this one.
Exactly. And also that baseball, there's so many games as well. She'll check in from now and then, but you know, we're out in Manhattan. We got a hotel in the city. So I had like one eye on the game. And I see that Helsley's coming into the game. And I'm like, okay, all right, positive, Tommy. Everything's good here. Got a lead. And obviously, we know what happened on Friday night. So after that game, Tiki, I put out on social media, and I'll sort of regurgitate it here on the air, is that the Mets have a lead in every one of these games.
Always.
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 And yet, the leads are not turning into wins. Mm. So what I said on social media, which went over not great, and I got a lot of, you know, death threats, and you suck, and you're the worst ever. And this
is just being positive Tommy.
Right, I'm just being positive Tommy, and I guess people were turning on me a little bit. But what I said was, they're in on all these games. They have a lead in every single game. They just haven't been able to close out these baseball games. So I understand it's a results-oriented business, but you felt like they were close. You felt like if they put everything together, they would start to go on a winning streak. And all it takes is one moment. And then Saturday rolls along, and you get Nolan McLean's debut, which was great. Had the whole family there. And listen to what I'll say real quick.
It was outstanding. He was better than great.
He was great. And also, he feeds the pythons. Guy's got, you know, major biceps, what I appreciate. Double Wagyu steak as his pregame meal, his father was saying. So, you know, he's a dude. You know, he's a dog. And he had the backwards sort of double play. And it was that one moment there, Tiki, where I think it was bases loaded. He got the backwards double play. And that sort of set the Mets in motion, I think, to set the tone for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, when you have desperation, because that's what it was. That's what it has felt like for the Mets. Almost every night they go out to play, this is a desperate night. Somebody has to step up and be great, whether it was the one-off win that they got when Pete Alonso went 243 or 253 and 254, that one win and that swamp of losses. It just felt like somebody's got to come be the hero. And on Saturday, much anticipated and delivered to the T, Nolan McLean, it just felt better. You just felt better because maybe it was the solution that you were looking for, that you were desperate for. And then you followed up with Clay Holmes, who everybody thought was going to crap the bed in the Little League game. actually pitched pretty well. Had some issues, but he got out of the fourth and ultimately had a 1-2-3 fifth and hit his limit. That's where his limit is. We know it. He's going to get five innings. And after that, everything kind of fell into place. So I don't want to say that Nolan McLean is the savior, because he's not. He pitches once every 5 days, maybe even six. Who knows? But he's the example of doing things right for this Mets that they sorely needed, absolutely needed.
Yeah, and you brought up Clay Holmes, who, by the way, his ERA is starting to creep closer and closer to Max Fried's. More on that in a little bit.
Get off Max Fried.
Well, I think it's...
Want to win this wager with Sean.
It's not just that. I had an answer for that thing that I said, a couple months ago or whatever, about a couple months ago, that, Clay Holmes will have a better career with the Mets than Max Fried will with the Yankees.
Was it career or was it season?
Both. It was season. I first said career, and then they held me to the... For the purpose of the bet, it's this season, Teak. But my original take was that Clay Holmes would have a better career with the Mets than Max Fried will have with the Yankees. And Holmes pitched well yesterday. And he's been up and down, but for the most part, he has pitched well. It's more about length and getting, five innings out of him than it is about the quality of pitches.
Well, that's just because it's his first season as a starting
pitcher. Exactly. He's stretched out. He's doubled the innings of his, career high at this point. And 888-808-1019 is the number to call. But I felt like all along here, when the Mets were going through it and they had lost, whatever it was, 12 out of 14, and I was receiving a lot of shrapnel on social media about it, my whole reason for positivity was I felt like the issues that were surrounding the Mets were all fixable. Meaning, starting with, let's say, Francisco Lindor, who had a rough couple of months. I speculated whether or not the pinky toe injury was sort of holding him back. He has now just been named National League Player of the Week, and this team goes where Francisco Lindor takes him.
Right, he's their leader.
Right, he's been red hot. Juan Soto, he is. If you are in the boat of Juan Soto somehow left his clutch gene in the Bronx, if that's the boat that you want to sit in, then good luck to you, because Juan Soto is going to make a lot of people look foolish. The big hits are on their way, and when they get here, they are going to be in bunches. So I am fully confident that's going to turn around. And the thing that has plagued them the most recently, the 7th, 8th inning, the back of the bullpen. Yeah, I think it's going to be fine, because when I look at Rodgers, Helsley, and especially Diaz, it's elite back there. So I have no issue or no worry that they're not going to turn around a couple things that have plagued them throughout this
week. No, the thing with the Mets, and we talked about this last week, Tommy, and I'm trying to remember if we got deep into the emotional side of sport, because we end up talking so much about execution and guys doing their jobs, and this guy sucks, but this guy's great, and yada yada yada. But sport is so emotional, and for a game like baseball, which is 162 games, it is just long and grinding, and you're doing the same things over and over and over again. And if you get stuck in a rut, it's hard to get out of it, especially if there's nothing to artificially pull you out of it. Last year, the Mets kind of had a similar rut, but they also had something artificial, let's call it OMG, to pull them out of it, right? It was a rallying cry that had nothing to do with how they were playing, but it brought them all together. So there was an emotional lift. And so this Mets team, this current iteration of the Mets, what's that emotional lift? There hasn't been one, unless it's somebody going and balling, someone going doing great things. I think you got a little bit with Pete Alonso when he hit his franchise-leading home runs. You're getting it almost more consistently now from Francisco Lindor, and you got it from Nolan McLean on Saturday. So, this team doesn't have the artificial lift. The only way they're going to get it is if players go ball, period. That's what it comes down to for this Mets team.
Yeah, Saturday was electric at Citi Field, and shout out to all the Met fans, because, as much as I want to be positive and I want to bang the drum and I bring up the big brother stuff with the Mets, which you could see in the numbers here, they're packing the house, I got to hand it to the Met fan, because even though there's been, some frustrations over the last couple of weeks, the fans are still showing up.
Right.
And they're not showing up for a bobblehead or to look at Mrs. Mets Fanny, which, by the way, both things are a reason to go to the ballpark. But they are showing up because I think there is still that optimism and belief, not only in this current team, but in what they are building, what Steve Cohen is building and what David Stearns is building. And David Stearns has received a lot of flack on the air, and I think totally unfairly. When you look at the pitching, first of all, Griffin Canning, before he got hurt, was having an all-star type of season. Is he not part of the strategy that David Stearns has? Okay, he got hurt. We were there. We were at the game. That's unfortunate. Had the Achilles injury. There's nothing you could do about that. But right. he was pitching great. Frankie Montas, so far, hasn't worked out. Not every single move is going to work out. The Rodgers, the Helsley, those trades, you're talking about two elite relievers. And I believe that those were the right moves. They might not have worked out 100%
yet.
The way you wanted to
yet.
But in principle, I still think it was the right move. And I never get nuts about trading prospects. Occasionally, you get a PCA and a Pete Crow Armstrong. And by the way, the only thing I would have held back on that is he's got a famous mama. So not only did you trade him, you traded his mama. And obviously, if you don't know, she was the mom in Little Big League. So when I'm trading players, Teak, I like to look at prospects. I want to say, does he have a fun name like Jet Williams, which is one of the great baseball names of all time?
Absolutely.
And then I say, do you have a famous mama? And if you have one of those two things, I'd probably hold off on. Otherwise, anybody to me is expendable. That's half tongue-in-cheek. But for the most part, most prospects don't pan out. When you can add a Rodgers and a Helsley and they can help you win a World Series, it's worth it every time. So I think the demise of the pitching lab is grossly exaggerated.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned the Griffin Canning injury, but let's think about the guys that got hurt. So Kodai Senga gets hurt. He misses some time. Griffin Canning is done. Tylor McGill is hurt, and now he's about to come back. It looks like he's had some really good starts in AAA. And if
Sean Manaea missed a lot of time.
Sean Manaea missed a lot of time. So this plan, which we all thought was a pretty damn good plan, kind of got derailed because of the injuries. And at the time, Tylor McGill was leading the team in strikeouts, right? He's been a strikeout machine. And so eventually, he's going to come back. Kodai Senga is back. Now, he had a better start, but it's not elite like he was before his injury. But Kodai Senga is back. Sean Manaea had a decent start on Friday. It wasn't lights out. And now you throw in Nolan McClain. It's almost like you're readjusting the plan to fit what the reality is right now. And so is there reason to be optimistic? Of course. But two in a row, meaning two wins in a row, is not going to get you back on track. They need a streak of six wins in a row or seven wins in a row to make us as fans and as media feel like, okay, they've weathered the bad part of this season.
Right, and they'll have the Nationals. So they're off tonight, and then they got the Nationals coming up here, and they have a lot of divisional opponents coming up. You have the Marlins. I'm out of order here. Marlins, Braves, and then they have, what, seven remaining games with the Phillies. And anybody that wants to dream big about the National League East, the Reds are obviously more of a clear and present danger here, so I think the focus should be on the final wild card spot. That's not to say you're giving up on the division. I have not. I still have high hopes. I will always have the high hopes. And when you have this many games against the Phillies, I think it's fair to say that the Mets are still in it and still alive for the NL East, you know, title. But right now, I think the focus should be on the Nationals, which is the team that you're going to be playing next, and what the Reds are doing here, and obviously the Brewers. And Tiki Barber, you know what? I thought about you this weekend, and I'll provide context with that because I think sometimes it's important to provide context. When the Brewers battled back from whatever, 8-1 down, I think it was on Friday, I thought back to the conversation that you had with Evan last week where I thought he was unfairly, you know, kind of going against you, where you had said, well, listen, the Brewers fought back on the Mets, but they do that to everybody. Said, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they do that. And then here we are, they do it again to the Reds.
They do it every night.
And sometimes you have to tip your cap to the opponent. You have to say Milwaukee's been one of the hottest teams in baseball, one of the best teams in baseball the last couple of months. And they make teams and bullpens look foolish.
Of course they do. I mean, hell, they won 14 in a row before they finally lost the game. 14 games in a row, which is ridiculous, especially when you look at them on paper and say, well, who's destroying you here? And so you give them credit. So what they did over this weekend is exactly what they've done to a lot of teams, including the Mets. Now, you did miss one series when you were talking about who the Mets have coming up next. And it sucks, but it's the reality. After Washington, it's Atlanta.
Yeah, they're in Atlanta. Yeah. So
that sucks.
But
it's an opportunity. At some point, the Mets have to dominate the Braves. They have to. I think if they want to exercise whatever this thing is hanging over them every now and then, it's dominate the Braves.
Yeah, you would have thought they exercised that last year in the way the season ended. The reason why I left that part out is because I have a tough time with this as positive Tommy, because I know there are a lot of skeletons in the Brave closet, and I know when Atlanta sees the Mets, it's their World Series, and there's just so many demons with Met fans, especially when they are playing the Braves in Atlanta. So I was kind of holding that off till we got there. But you're absolutely right. At some point, you have to, and I felt this way last year, too, when they were battling it out, is that at some point, you have to look the Braves dead in the eye and say, I'm no longer, whatever.
They're, I'm not scared of you.
I'm not as scared of you. I'm not afraid of the Braves. And I think as a fan base, we have to be the same way. And I think that's why I say the things I say after the game is because, at some point, because I'll get, 50 years, they know. Well, all right, well, that things change. Mm. I mean, we can't just sit here and say that the Mets are always going to lose to Atlanta or they're never going to win a World Series. Because if that's the case, then we're wasting our time watching these games. And otherwise, they're just an escape so you don't have to do the laundry or mow the lawn. So at some point, you have to hold out the faith that the team is going to turn it around. And I just felt like all along in these games, okay, they were blowing leads, but all it took was one moment, one opportunity, one game, one series, and if they could get themselves back on track, back in their winning waves, get a little momentum, all of a sudden they could take off. And I really feel like that's what happened this past weekend against Seattle. So they are going to the postseason. I've said that all year long. The NL East is absolutely still in play. You take it one step at a time here. But I think the paranoia or the, not the paranoia, but the reaction to all these losses, as frustrating as it was, I always knew and always felt comfortable that they would turn it around because Lindor would get hot, Soto's going to hit with runners in scoring position, and yes, David Stearns has built an elite bullpen that will show itself to be elite at some point here down the stretch.
Yeah, but it was just hard to watch August. It was so many losses in a row. Four wins in August. It's the 17th, 18th. And there's only had four wins in August. That's how rough it's been.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And I think that in some ways last year, and you kind of touched upon that as far as whether it was, Seymour Wiener, whether it was the Rally Pimp and Pimpin' Ain't Easy, whether it was Grimace, whether it was
Hawk-tua.
My Bubba the Hawk-tua girl, or I don't know, Positive Tommy. There was so much OMG. There was a lot of fun. It was a dog and pony show. It was a lot of shtick, which I can appreciate. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it was also the team.
You know what I mean?
Above all, the shtick and all the bells and whistles was more for the fans to kind of rally around.
I feel like the players had the same thing though. Like they were all bought in on the Iglesias OMG. It's not nonsense. I was going to say nonsense, but it wasn't nonsense.
It was like a theme song.
Because it was real. It was a theme song for them. And sometimes you just need a little motivation. It gave it to them. They're not going to have that this year. The only way they're going to get it done is to what you're alluding to, Tommy, by balling, by playing, by being great when you're asked to be so. And over the last two games, it's felt more like that.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki here. Evan and Sean on vacation. So, Tommy, Tiki, we got you all week long. We will get to the Yankees later on in the show. Why I believe they being the Yankees, a Max Fried problem. Expansion coming to baseball. Rob Manfred had a lot to say about that last night. And, of course, Giants, Jets, the Snoopy Bowl, which I forgot they even called it the Snoopy Bowl. That's been brought to my attention that they still call it the Snoopy Bowl. We will get into that, all the hype surrounding Jackson Dart, the Jets offense, if you want to even call it that, maybe offensive at this point. We will discuss that. A lot to get into.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.